Hello, good morning, everyone. It is bright and early here in California. When I originally scheduled this call, I really was thinking wrong time zone. So I am in California getting ready to teach at a retreat. I'm going to be teaching all about buffering and urges. And today's call is all about handling buffering and urges. So while everybody's getting in here, let me tell you a little bit about my last 24 hours since I saw you guys. So yesterday morning I had a team call, did some work, and then we had a coaching call. I headed straight to the airport, and it was a long day. So I didn't have a chance to eat anything until I got to did I eat? Oh yeah, I ate in Nashville. So I got to the airport about probably by the time I was able to eat something, it was around 2. So I had a salmon salad. I was like, okay, I'm good. And I got to Chicago and then I had a 3-hour layover. Well, like a dumbass, I didn't really check anything to kind of see how long flights were and stuff. I was just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. Next thing I knew, we were getting ready to board and someone talked about it being like, I don't know, like a 4-hour flight or something like that. And I was like, what? Because I had only had that salmon salad and I was already starting to get hungry. And I was thinking I was getting into California so much earlier. So I start scrambling, looking to see, well, not only was I getting into California around 9:30 at night, 9:40, it was over an hour in an Uber to get to my destination. And there was going to be no restaurants open. So I run frantically to a bookstore, grabbed a protein bar, and was like, it's a protein bar and a Sprite Zero for me today. So I grabbed that, ate that. And oh my God, I was sitting next to a dude who just wouldn't stop. He fidgeted all the way there. Like I had to manage my mind like you would not believe. And then, of course, it was like a packed flight. We get to California, nothing's open. I finally get my Uber. The guy is like chatty Cathy, and I was not in the mood. And I was nice. I mean, I was super nice, but I was sitting there thinking the whole time, like, oh my God, this guy will not take a hint that I don't want to talk. And so he was like, well, do you mind? I didn't realize this is going to be such a long ride. Can we stop and get gas on the California side or on the Nevada side? Because it'll be real expensive in California. And I was like, I don't care, man. I was like, I don't even know if the hotel I'm going to is going to have any food. So do you care if I go in? So I grabbed a gas station salad and another protein bar. I get to the hotel. Their computers are down, and I had to wait a while for them to be able to get me get a room key. They like literally had to like do it by walkie-talkie with some back office system. Get to my room, no keys working. I was like, fuck me. So I called down because I was like, I am not, it was a long haul. I was like, I am not walking back down there. The guy comes up, he's like profusely apologizing, gets me in the room, and like the second I close the door, I swear to God, he's back. And he said, there was like he was going to move me to a suite the next day to kind of make up for all this. I mean, they've been super nice, don't get me wrong. And he said, I can move you tonight if it's open, if you want to change, because I just feel so bad. Like, you have just, like, we have done nothing right since you walked in the door. And I was like, okay, well, I haven't unpacked anything, so let's go. And I ended up getting the Ritz-Carlton suite, which is the nicest suite at the Ritz-Carlton. Now, first of all, it pays to be a Titanium Elite member because all you hussies that come to camp all the time, we put all that shit on, like all those rooms and everything, they go on my card. So let me just give you a quick tour while we wait for questions. This is the bedroom. This is the, well, I live like a slob. I mean, I've been here less than 6 hours and I look like a pig. Here's my clothes. Here's the big ass bathroom. Like all the things. There's my toiletries where my shampoo exploded in my bag, which has happened to me twice now. And I don't have cheap shit because of my blonde ass hair. So I'm always a little bit on the miffed side when the shampoo bottle explodes. Here's the office. Here's the living room. There's a kitchen. And then there's just like a random playroom in the back. I don't think me and my friend Jane are gonna be doing the playroom, but check the outside, y'all. Like, I wish Logan was here so bad. And I don't know. It's so nice. It's so cool. There's still snow. Like, look over there.
Now, I know for all of you that are like from California and stuff, this is no big fucking deal to you. But for some podunk Nashville girl, this is like, what? So anyway, I'm going to finish up with you guys, take my laptop out there, and I'm going to work until Miss Jane gets here. So anyway, I thought I'd give y'all a tour. Now let's get to Q&A. So I'm going to go in here and check Slack. Kathy, I think, or Betsy, one of them is on the call, and they are going to give me some questions. So it all worked out okay. I didn't sleep good, so I got up this morning, and I did a run. And Nashville girls, be on the lookout. I'm fixing to message all of you about a race I'm going to do in Nashville. It's on August the 24th. It's a 5K, 15K. I do not want to do a big group like where I like there's not going to be any training together and all that kind of stuff because I literally will do all of my training runs on Tuesdays. Y'all can do it if you want to, but I just thought it would be kind of fun if we all signed up for one here in Nashville that we could all kind of train for during the summer if we wanted to, and then we could show up and, you know, do that kind of stuff. It's for an animal shelter, Agape Animal Shelter. So I will put more stuff in an event notice inside of PNP. All right, let's see. Let me get to Slack. And if y'all have questions, you need to make sure that you ask, because if y'all don't have questions, I ain't got answers. Trust me, I'm working on about 3.5 hours sleep. All right, I got to figure out how to get the internet going real good. This button, let's see, will not. Okay. Having an urge to eat seems like a feeling and a thought too. Can you give us a couple of models like with the CTFAR format? Yeah, urge is a feeling. It's not a thought. Like if you have an urge to eat, it might be, I want it. That would be the thought. So if you have like, I don't know, whoever asked this, Melissa, tell me what you think the thought and the feeling is. The urge is always the feeling. That's always what happens. There's always a thought that's preceding it. So it can, like a lot of you are looking for the thought to be super complicated or deep or whatever. I really want you to quit doing that. It is not helping you solve the problem of urges. What most of you have is you have one model. Like, let's say your boss yells at you. Let's not even do that. Let's say that, like, a lot of you say, like, oh, I got a stressful job, Corinne. It's all the stress, you know, like, that kind of stuff. So, like, during the day, maybe there will be, like, you had a plan and a meeting was called. And your thought is, I'm so behind. You feel stressed. The action there is to, like, stew and ruminate, work yourself up. And then the result is you get further behind in your mind management. Then what happens is as you've done that all day long, you've jacked up all of the hormones that precede, somebody's angry, that all precedes an urge. Like your brain starts, oh yeah. Like every night she eats after a really stressful day. So if you're not managing your mind during the day, when you get home, you've wore your brain out. So then when you get home, it's like you see the pantry and your thought is, this will be good. And suddenly you feel an urge to eat. And because you didn't manage your mind during the day, you eat. And then the result is you eat what you want in the moment. You eat what's good rather than what's good for you. And so that's how it works. A lot of you are thinking that you're eating because you have a stressful day. You're not eating because you're having a stressful day. You're eating because you have an urge and you don't say no. The stressful day creates an environment for urges to feel more compelling. That's what's really happening. And I think that's what some of you get confused. Do you think my boss yells at me? He yelled at me today and you feel angry and you eat is the model. That's not the model. There's a model for the food urge where the food comes into play. What you have to realize is that you have like all of these patterns. So if you take every single, this is why I have you track your urges and have you do a lot of recovery worksheets and stuff. Your job is to figure out what is your pattern. Like, is your pattern that whenever you have felt rejected or whenever you have felt depressed or whenever you have felt like excited, like and you want to celebrate or whatever, if your pattern is it overeats typically precede those or go after those, then what you want to do is you want to look for those
And then you identify, all right, so when these things are happening, I know that an urge is likely to come. And you start getting your brain geared toward how you're going to dismiss them and how you're going to sit with them. And that separates out those two. It's really hard to solve urges if stress is the cause, because you can't stop the world. You can manage your mind around your stress and stuff, but guys, I'm just going to tell you right now, I did a really good call on this the other day. If stress was the reason why you overate, then every single time you were stressed, you'd overeat. I mean, every single time. Like if you sat in the emergency room with your son and he had broke his leg and you were all stressed out about the surgery, you would go find a vending machine rather than talk to the doctor. That's what it does. Okay. Oh man, I keep moving this phone around. I can't see. Let me move my Slack channel around. This is better. Okay. I am struggling with stopping overeating when I want to relax, especially if I'm watching Netflix. So you know that your pattern is going to be like stopping overeating. You should never be eating then and watching Netflix. Those two just shouldn't be going together. If you want to eat, go sit down at a table and eat by yourself. Like, seriously. I know a lot of you are like, but that's boring. It's like, yeah. And you know what else is boring? Bitching about your weight all your life. Waking up every day wondering what the fuck happened. That's real boring. Nobody wants to have that life. Like if I said, hey, what do y'all want to think about all the time? Nobody would say like, girl, I want to think about my weight and shame. Let me go figure out how to get that done. So like, if you want to eat at night, then make a new rule, especially if you, guys, look for your patterns. If you notice you overeat with Netflix and you want to keep the Netflix, quit eating with the Netflix. Yeah, it's not going to be as fun. It eventually will be more fun, but in the beginning, it won't. All right. I feel like such a failure. I maintain 207 to 210 and can't seem to stop the urge to overeat or eat unclean food, especially weekends. You need a better plan, first of all, Cindy, but you're feeling like a failure because of it. It's okay to feel like a failure if you're feeling like, this is the thing. I want you to level up to disappointment rather than a failure. When you feel like a failure, it's because you're making it mean you can't do things. You need to make it mean like, here's the problems. I'm very disappointed because I'm doing this and I need to get closer to my goal. So you need to pick like one thing at a time. I got to pull my hair back. Sorry, guys. This water here is not everything. So what I would do, I don't understand why you have to, but like, I can't stop the urge to overeat unclean food. There's no clean or unclean food. The last I checked, we don't give all foods a bath before we get to eat them. Like that whole idea of what's clean and shit, that retired Ritosca Reno, she ain't hardly doing anything with that shit anymore. We all need to drop that shit. Here's the deal. You're either on plan or you're not. If you have some foods that you like, you have got to get used to quit demonizing things like unclean. The only unclean food is like berries that aren't washed. And I'm having a big doubt here that you've got broccoli and blueberries that you're eating that still have dirt on them and that's your problem. Unclean foods is just like saying bad foods. My junk. We have to quit doing that. That's why you feel like a failure, because you are identifying with things as if they're good or bad. If you identify as foods are good or bad, if you put food that's bad for you in, you're going to think you as a human is bad. They're not good or bad. They're just food. Get over it. All of you, get over it. Plan some stuff. Get good at just eating what's on your plan, but plan some things you really want and quit bastardizing the system. There is not one place. This is so funny. There's not one place in the No BS where I talk about like there are good foods and bad foods for you. And here's that list of like the only things I think you should be eating to lose weight. And yet all of you hear this message somehow. It's like, if I haven't said it, don't do it. If I haven't said it, quit thinking it. You need to be right. Like this question you just asked me, you need to have done at least 30 models on this. This should be like every day you've done a thought download on why you overate. You should have all the recovery worksheets and stuff. If you don't, guys, you're not going to quit overeating if you don't do those recovery worksheets. I am telling you, I don't give them to you just to blow some smoke up your tail. I give them to you because they're going to show you your patterns. So here's what I would do, Cindy, is I would make sure that you are realistically planning, like for real, realistically planning. You're probably not if you're still hanging on to the idea of there are bad foods. Whatever food you're overeating, they just need to be on your plan and you need to eat them with eyes wide open. So here's what I would do. Go to pnptribe.com, go to the bonus courses and look for the deep dive in realistic planning. We did a quickie little lesson. It's not long at all. In fact, all tribe members, newbies, you don't know this, but part of your training for your next 8 weeks, there will be a week we focus on just realistic planning. So that you're going to get this information. But what I want you to do, Cindy, is I want you to go listen to that bonus course and I want you to get on the bandwagon of realistic planning, like right now. That will help you because here's what happens. You put these foods on there and now you're going to start eating them on purpose. The problem is when you guys are overeating and you're eating off plan, you're turning off the on purpose button. You're just eating and turning off. You can't fix things when you're like in that zone. What I need to do is get you guys really conscious. And that comes with the realistic planning. And yes, some of you are going to be like, well, how do you lose weight doing that? You're not going to lose weight overeating and fuck it eating and feeling like a failure. I'm going to tell you that right now. So if your worst fear is that you can't lose weight, you're probably living it already if you're in resistance and fighting and doing all that other shit. So worst fears coming to fruition. But the y'all think that's the worst thing that can happen. Here's the worst thing that happens. You teach yourself really bad thinking patterns around food. And the ultimate disservice to you is that if you start realistic plan, if you like don't start realistic planning, you may have missed out on the one thing that was going to make all the sense in the world and you would have lost all your weight. So quit hanging on to the old stuff. Let's just do it my way. Tell you what, I'm gonna have to drink all the water while I'm here. Whoa, high altitude. I have got a rager headache. Little sleep and a rager headache is not helping mama. I've got little bottles of the Ritz-Carlton water bottles lined up everywhere. And if y'all wonder why I'm at the Ritz, it ain't because I would stay at the Ritz. This is where my mentor's retreat is. And I'm just like, okay. Now I do love me a good JW Marriott. No, don't get me wrong. I overeat only when I plan. I think it's a thought about constraint. Any ideas? I'm not really sure. No, it's like if you only overeat when you're planning, here's the problem. You're not learning how to stick to your plan. Let me just tell you, I think that's kind of a lie you tell yourself. I would imagine if you're not planning, you're not like not overeating. You're just not catching it. I mean, if you don't plan and you lose all kinds of weight, I would probably do that. But let me just caution you, Melissa. When you aren't planning, are you losing all kinds of weight? And the second you plan, you stop losing weight? Or is it when I'm not planning, I just don't know I'm overeating. I don't see them all. I'm not as apparent. It's not as apparent. But when I plan, they're all there. And then back in comes the shame and back in comes the judgment. They feel like they're happening more often only because you see them now. Because I'm going to tell all of you right now, you do not have to do a 24-hour plan at all if you can do 30 days with zero overeats and never do a plan and drop your weight just fine. I'm fine with that. That means somehow you have got some wicked good brain and you need to do what works. But do not sit there and tell me planning causes my overeats. Here's what happens. 24-hour plan, your thought, this is bullshit. I want it. Feeling, urge, action. I decide to eat rather than not eating. It's not the plan that's causing it. It's always your thinking about anything. Planning also, like, here's the thing. A lot of you think planning constrains you. And like, if that, like, I want you to think about, it sure does. It constrains you to the foods that you choose you want to eat. I don't think that's a bad deal, especially when I teach you to put foods on the plan you like. I never understand that when you guys truly planned foods that are delicious. Amen. I love it. This is going to be great. This is the foods I want to lose my weight. And you're like, but yeah, and that's really constraining me. That's really holding my shit back. We have got people in this tribe who plan nachos 2 to 3 times a week and lose weight. Chocolate cake. They plan all the things. You know who struggles the most to lose weight in this tribe? The people who bullshit around thinking that they can't have those things. And then they end up face down in shit. And they're like, they just keep trying to work that cycle. Rather than sitting around and thinking that can't work for me, there's no way that can work for me. No, that's not the way I lose weight. Why not just try my method? Stop fighting it. Seriously, I'm going to go back to what I said a while ago. The worst thing that will happen is you'll do it and you'll just keep doing the shit that you're doing now. Except you will at least have tried something new. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to learn a lot more. And Melissa, you have to quit blaming your plan for your overeating and take ownership. Here's why I'm overeating. Because when I'm planning, I decide not to eat that stuff. That is why I overeat. And that's it. And also, like, I don't know if you're still here, but I want you to post. Am I right or am I wrong? When you plan, when you don't plan, you never overeat. Ever. It's all 100%. Because if that's the case, is that the same Melissa? Hang on. I've noticed that the pattern I have is when I overeat, rather than stop, I tend to want to continue to overeat. Yeah, all of us do. You're going to have to learn how to break that. It is harder to get out of that loop and be the watcher and just sit with the urge to continue to overeat. It's like I forget everything. I forget to pause in the moment. Do you have any advice for stopping and overeat? I have awareness. I say I'm choosing to overeat. Then after the fact, I am disappointed. All right, so be disappointed and then immediately go into and figure out things that you can do. So it is going to be harder. Once you start the action, it is going to be harder. So now what I would do is when you have an overeat, I would have a natural stop rather than, like, I think you're just trying to do too much talking. Like you said, it is harder to get out of the loop and be the watcher. I don't want you to get out of the loop and be the watcher. I want you to do something different. Then watch it. So like have a, like there's, I've been reading this book by Mel Robbins. It is the Take Control Over Your Life. One of the things is if you know that that's a pattern for you, that once an overeat starts, that you continue to overeat, then you have a distinct pattern. And that's a habit your brain is kicking into. So a lot of times what the brain does is it does a lot better. Like before we, get to the watcher stage and all this other stuff, one of the easiest ways to hack into that is to have a distinct new behavior for that. So if you, let's say you start overeating, the distinct new behavior for you is I put the food in the refrigerator, I remove myself from the room for 90 seconds, and then I can come back and I can watch my brain and I can keep eating if I want to. Just doing something that disrupts what's going on, like in a very physical way, in a very actionable way, allows your brain, your reasoning brain, to turn on, because the watcher is the reasoning brain. It's the conscious brain. Once you've started that overeat, what you're experiencing is your habit brain is taken over and your reasoning brain is shut down. It is harder to turn it on. That's why if you have a little hack in order to like activate it, that will be really helpful. Let me see. Melissa's like, yeah, you're right. It's just, I'm more aware of my overeats when I plan. And that's what we want. So this, I'm so glad you asked and I'm so glad you're being honest here, because here is the thing. I've got all the Melissas asking questions today. Congratulations, Susan, for being 72 pounds down, by the way. So one of the good things about Melissa asking this question is what it shows all of us. We automatically, like when something's not working, which is our action line. So I'm overeating, I'm buffering, I'm eating off plan, whatever it is. Do you know what the knee-jerk reaction for all of us is? Girl, I gotta find something to blame. There's gotta be something out there that's causing this. Oh, it's gotta be that stress. It's gotta be the plan now. Like, no, there's nothing to blame. This is why we overeat. This is why we buffer. We have a thought about food. We have an urge. The urge has some chemicals behind it. Our job is to pattern interrupt right there and let the urge pass. The step one is to not beat yourself up over it. Y'all go through the workshop. I explain all of it over there. But one of the things that has to happen is that when that urge comes, there's no fighting it. There's no judging you or the urge. There's no thinking it has to go away. It really has to be like, I am going to count down from 90. I'm going to let some of this chemical stuff burn off inside of me. And then I'm going to think about, do I want this? And I'm going to remind myself, urges always pass. They have to end at some point. Because a lot of times we tell ourselves it's never going to end. We, you know, you argue some bullshit in your head. You know, always tell yourself, it will end one way or the other. It will either end with me sitting with it for as long as it takes, or it will end with me eating. One way has a payoff. And neither one of them is going to feel good. Because here's the thing. Quit telling yourself that the eating part is like, well, that'll feel good. That'll be comforting. That'll do something for me. Here's what it does. It sets you up for every urge after that to be harder. Remind yourself of these things. Have an honest conversation. Be like, tell yourself the things that's going to happen. Like, it's going to require me to work harder next time. And yeah, I'm going to think, well, next time I'll do better. And that's always a bullshit lie. Like, this is the next time from another one, and it seems to not feel any easier. So obviously it's not going to get any better. Start thinking about how you want to feel in the morning. Put yourself into your future self's seat. The other thing you can do is just think, and it may come back. I may have to do another 90-second cycle. I'm going to sit here as long as it takes. But if I eat, I know I'm solving nothing. I also know I'm going to feel bad later. I will pay the price for eating somehow. And the last thing I love to tell myself that I've been telling you guys this before, ask yourself, what am I really trying to solve here? Is it because I'm just so uncomfortable? Is it just because I just really want it and I don't want to tell myself no? Is it because I keep thinking about my stressful day and this will shut off me thinking? Whatever it is, right? It doesn't have to be something that happened 8 hours prior. It could literally just be, I know what this is solving. It is solving that every single night I eat at 8 o'clock watching Netflix and it's 8 o'clock and I don't want to sit here without my food. That's all it's going to solve is me not having to sit here without my food. And so then you say, like, if your best friend asked you or your daughter, for all of us that have sons and daughters, if they said, Mom, I'm just so bored. Like, I just had a really tough day at school. Would you say, like, you know what you should do? You should go grab a bag of chips and just sit and veg out on the couch. That'll solve everything. If you wouldn't, like, having, like, sometimes, like, just having yourself do that in your mind, one, it takes up the time that you're going to be burning off this urge. It's giving your brain something to think about other than the argument and the desire. The second thing is it starts putting things into some reality. So you're not telling yourself all that other smoke and mirror shit you've been telling yourself. You start telling yourself an alternate reality around it. Okay. How do you get past the urge that is just so strong? There's no strong urges. There's no ginormous urges. There's no hairy ones, deep-seated, rooted, none of them. All that happens is all urges are the same. The difference is what you're thinking. How much arguing are you going to do with it? Because this is the thing. Like, you only have so much cortisol and adrenaline that can burn through your body at a given time. Like, just physiologically, you got like 90 seconds worth. Then it has to ebb down. But if you're arguing and you're throwing a temper tantrum and you're not doing some of the stuff I'm asking you to do, then you have that 90-second dip and then you'll see another spike. And it will feel like the urges are just like, it'll feel like labor pains. You know how if they come in waves and stuff? It'll be that kind of similar. But this is the thing. When you guys think they're bigger or a bigger problem or that there were strong ones and stuff, they make them for you harder to overcome because of how you're thinking about them. I would just honestly, guys, I don't think of any of my urges as more compelling than any other. It just doesn't help to think that way. The only thing that's helpful is to think there are urges and here's my protocol for how I handle urges. And all of you should come up with a protocol. This is not in the program, but if I was going to give you like some bonus work, it would be to write out a protocol. Like, here are all the things that I notice that trigger my urges. Like, I tend to have more urges after a day where these things have happened, these feelings have happened, I've been around these people, these types of situations. Really get to understand it. With the understanding that none of that is the cause. That just creates the environment for your brain to have an urge. So it will throw up a thought. The only reason why you'll ever eat is because you say yes to the feeling. That's it. It will not be because of that other stuff. But when you really understand all that stuff, then you can create protocols. Like, come up with a minimum baseline protocol for when I feel an urge, step one, step two, step three. These are the things I do for myself. I always count down from 90. I always say these three things to myself. I move to this room. Like, you can figure, like, my girl from Netflix. Like, if you know that's one of your Netflix protocol at night, you should have a protocol for how you do the night now. You need to habitualize your brain on what you're going to be doing, and it doesn't involve food. It means watching TV in a different spot. Like, literally, sometimes, guys, it just means, like, if you always sit on one side of the couch, sit on the other. Your brain will accept and take any pattern disrupt you can get it. I am one of those who just wants it. But you're just like me, Cheryl, because I'm going to tell you 99% of all my urges are always because I just want it. I just want that. That looks good. It'll be okay. That's another big one for me. It'll be okay. I don't have a deep-seated reason. Almost no one does. Y'all all think that like this is the commonplace. It's all deep-seated. No, it's not. There's no deep-seated urges. Everyone, I don't care if you were raped and molested as a child. That is not why you're overeating now. It may be why you feel anxious and stuff in certain situations, and you may eat because when you feel anxious, that's how you've always coped, but you're not eating because of that. You are now eating because you're not learning how to deal with your anxiety. That's it. So there's no deep-seated. Everybody needs to quit looking for those. But one of the worksheets you're asking what my thoughts are, and I really don't have a thought. Yes, you do. I want it. Quit looking harder. Help. All right, you got it. It's because you want it. That's the pain thought. That's the poison thought. There's nothing underneath it. For a lot of you, that's what y'all want there to be more. Like, you want to keep digging because guess what? If I keep digging, I can keep pretending I want it. It's not a big enough reason. So I can keep digging. And when I'm digging, guess what I can do? I can keep eating. Your brain hacks you that way. You got to just be like, all right, every time I think I want it, guess what my protocol is? To remind myself, we don't get to eat what we want right now. We planned what we wanted for our goals. Right now, we just want to eat something because it's there. That would be like saying to your husband, oh, I get it. She's really good looking. I know you want it because it's just right there. Go do that. None of you would do that. There's not a soul in here who would just be like, okay, go cheat on me. It's okay. I know you really want it. That's what we do, though. We cheat on ourselves. So it's like, put the shit on the plan and know that your biggest obstacle is going to be, from now on, I'm going to just want things. And guess what I have to do? I have to tell myself, here are the other things I really want to. And we're not having it today, and take it one day at a time. One of the things that I think that y'all get too caught up in is you think we're going to have some kind of magic thought, like, but it's just I want it. So tell me what it is that's going to make sitting there so much easier. No thought ever. Nothing is going to make it towards like, and today was the day that all of it became simple. And I never wanted it ever again. That doesn't happen. You have to train yourself to not want it. And the only way to train yourself to not want it is to remind yourself of what you've been wanting, of what you actually want, and in the moment, working for it. And working for it doesn't mean being punitive and being like self-loathing and all that other stuff. Working for it means like, I'm going to breathe. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to let the feels come up. Like, I'm going to feel deprived. Because this is the thing. Most of you will feel deprived because you're not having pizza or chocolate cake. This is the other speech everybody needs to give themselves. If you are sitting there and telling yourself some bullshit that you're in deprivation because you can't have cookies or a cake or whatever off plan, you need to go talk to someone who's a single mom raising four kids and ain't got grocery money and ask her, do you agree with my deprivation? Right. Very often we have to get ourselves in check. I am not having any of you do a truly depriving diet. What we're doing is we're depriving ourselves. This is what I want you guys to think. I want you to deprive yourselves of going behind your back, of cheating on yourself. I want you to start depriving yourself of the weight gain. I want you to deprive yourself of self-loathing. I want you to deprive yourself of being disappointed Friday after Friday because you're not following your plans. That also means that sometimes you're going to have to learn how to be faced with some food that you really want in the moment, but you know in your heart that if you eat it, that you're going to feel deprived now so that you don't have to be deprived of your goals and your own self-satisfaction, your own pride, your dignity, your accomplishments, years on your life. Like, somewhere there will be feelings of deprivation at some point. Choose wisely where you feel them. I would rather feel like, I'm going to tell you, last night when I got here, the first thing I did was like look to see, like, thank God I got that gas station salad, because the only thing that I could get here to eat was room service and it was a late night menu and it was literally a frat party. And I was so glad that I had my own back and grabbed a salad, because I would not have wanted to go to bed eating pizza and shit and then have to come up here in the morning and deprive myself feeling authentic with all of you. And that's what happens. Last night, I'm going to tell you, after a long day, and I was offered a free bottle of wine. Let me just tell you, I immediately was like, no, don't need that. And I wanted it. But this is the thing we have to do, guys. We have to have these conversations with ourselves and not in the moment. And I think that's the biggest mistake most of you make. You wait until the moment that you want it so bad to start trying to, all right, now it's time to engage the conversations. Because, you know, I ain't got time, Corinne, for assessments and recovery worksheets. And I ain't got time to do thought downloads and stuff. But oh my God, tell me how to quit overeating at night at 8 o'clock. Here's how you do it. Every morning at 5 a.m., guess what I'm doing? Journaling the fuck out of shit. Rinsing out my brain, reminding myself of my true wants and desires, telling myself the shit I don't like about me that I want to work on, being honest. I do all of that free from the food part where there's no thinking about it, and I get real clear all the time, daily. I always have time for me. I never sit there and pretend that the rest of the world can get in the way of me taking care of myself. I was riding yesterday on one of my air rides, a thing about self-care. And so many of you, and I talk about this, that, you know, self-care is not manicures and pedicures, but I have something else I want you guys to consider. You know, self-care happens in the seconds and the minutes of the day. And for me, self-care is saying no to something I really want in the moment that I know doesn't get me closer to my goals. Self-care to me is not getting angry at my boys when they have slobbed up the kitchen and I clean it. Like, self-care to me is when I'm in the throes of working and Logan walks in the room and wants to show me like a video of some guy calling 911 as a joke. And me not feeling like upset that my flow's broke. We have to start redefining all this. You have to start thinking about how are you going to take care of yourself better so that in those moments, one, you might not need the food as much if you're not creating an environment that's hostile for you all day long. Your brain is for you to manage. It is not for your job, your kids, your boss, your husbands, your life to manage. And when you think they all need to change in order for you to feel better, that's like saying your job is to manage my mind. And that will never work for you. So you have to go through your day learning how to truly care for yourself. You got to drop the idea that caring for yourself takes time and money. It is in the smallest of moments. Like, one of my self-cares this morning was I had 13 minutes to grab a shower. And I wanted to be clean for this. I mean, I just wanted to be clean. I did not want to be sitting here in sweaty clothes. And so I grabbed a shower and I was like, this is my self-care today. Just like MJ Sharif said in the video from last month in self-love, it's like, this is my self-care. Being here this morning, not hungover, because I was offered a bottle of wine at midnight after a long day and full of pizza because the room service menu looked really good. That was self-care last night, saying no to every one of those urges so that this morning I could feel authentic. Is it better to remove typical urge foods, or does that just postpone the work you need to do? It depends on what you're doing. Now, some people will say that it can postpone it. Here's my opinion. I don't think you have to like go through and clean out the house and do all that kind of stuff, because I don't do that stuff. But I have certain foods that I know it's just like, I don't even want to manage my mind around it. Like, I have for so long, like if I have an open can of nuts in the house, I know a lot of you, it's sheet cake and donuts and cookies, and y'all think your nuts is a problem. Yeah, bitches, my nuts are a problem. If there's an open can in the house, I'm going to want to sit and just veg out and eat them. And the problem is I will tell myself, but it's just nuts. They're so healthy. I just don't want to create that environment for myself. And I've watched myself do it so often that I just decided that if I want nuts, I will go to the store and I will buy an individual package of nuts and eat them. I just think that there's just some things that it's not that, like, I never tell myself that I can't handle them. I just tell myself, you know, at some point, I'm okay with saying no ahead of time. And to me, that's what it feels like. Now, I wouldn't tell the boys what I don't do. It's like, I love chips. And I'm going to tell you, every now and then, I end up eating chips and shit like that. Because the boys, they keep all their stuff in the house. And the things that they love, I never tell them we can't have because mommy has a problem. That is the stuff that I'm like, yeah, that's looking real good right now. Yeah, like this is a day where I'm going to want chips and the answer is no. Or this is a day it's a recovery worksheet because I find myself eating the chips because I've told myself it's okay. So I think you just have to like be really honest with yourself about why you're doing it. I wouldn't take all of them out. But if there's a couple things you're just like, you know what, I just need some traction. I'm just not even going to put them in the house because I'm going to be working on other things. I think that's okay too. I don't think there's any right or wrong on that. I just don't want you guys taking foods out of the house and doing it because you're afraid of the food. I want you to do some stuff to get like I want you to start telling yourself, it's not because I'm afraid. It's like, just tell yourself like, no, I own that right now. I want to make the decision ahead of time for me. When I don't get 7 to 8 hours of sleep like you did last night, I have urges to eat all day because I think my hormones are all whacked out. What can I do besides letting the urge pass? It's all you can really do, Harriet. The best advice I would have, like, for me today, I'm going to have, like, all the urges, especially because I ended up under-fueling yesterday. And I don't know, maybe I won't have any urges, but I'm going to tell you right now, fucking having one at this moment. The stomach is growling. I am well beyond the negative two, and I've had no coffee. I'm like, what is with the Ritz-Carlton? At 6 a.m., the coffee shop is not open, and it's a Monday. I'm like, do they not drink the coffee early in the morning in California? I'm just going to tell you. I was shocked and dismayed. So anyway, what I'm going to be doing today is drinking a lot of water, and I'm going to, like, just make wise choices. I'll have my 24-hour plan. And then just when it happens, I'm just going to just tell myself, this is just a day that they're going to come in stronger. I'll be doing the 90-second countdown like you guys. I'm going to try to, like, take a couple walks. I've got some work to do. You know, I just tell myself on days like this, I may have more urges, but I'm willing to go through them. Like, I never sit there and think, like, it's going to be so hard or all this, like, my hormones are out of whack or anything like that. It's like, I kind of just know, but I'm not going to sit there and dwell on it. Like, I'm not going to set myself up for, like, self-sabotage around it. Now, it's okay to be aware of it. Just be like, you know, this is a day where I could have more urges. In fact, I swear to God, since I started talking about it, my stomach literally, like, thank God y'all can't hear it. It sounds like it's trying to devour itself at this moment. It's like, where's our butter coffee? So I would just sit there and I would, like, just tell myself, I'm going to handle anything that comes along. I'm going to take them one at a time. It could be 10, it could be 1, who knows? And that's kind of the way I like to do it. That way I don't get myself all ginned up and, like, on the prowl and hunt for them. But drink a lot of water. And if you can, this is just some physical hacks. You can try to stand up. Like, every 55 minutes, set an alarm on your clock. Stand up during the day. Do some deep breathing. Do a couple of stretches. And that kind of keeps your body with some natural chemical, like, energizing things so that it's not, like, just sitting there and trying to, like, think and all that other stuff. And if it's a day where you can plan, like, maybe you can reorganize your schedule a little to do a little low-level brain activity work where you're not taxing your front brain so much, that's a possibility too. Like, I have a pretty packed day. I've got a presentation tomorrow and stuff. So I'm just going to roll. Just going to roll hard. In the workbook, we have the question, what are 5 thoughts you can start with now that feel doable? For some reason, I'm having a hard time with that one. Can you share some ideas to get me brainstorming? Is this for urges? What are 5 thoughts you can start with now that feel doable? In terms, like, can somebody just, Betsy, tell me what she's referring to, like, which worksheet? I don't have it pulled up. Is there a difference between an urge and a craving? I thought there was one in a prior course. They're very similar. A craving is for something very specific. An urge is to eat. An urge really is more like a lot of you will have the urge to drink. A lot of you will have the urge to smoke, to Facebook, to procrastinate, all kinds of stuff. So I want you to think about urges as a feeling that's getting you to do something that has a negative result in your life. So you're usually trying to avoid an emotion or create an emotion. So for those of you who just want it, you're trying to create you're trying to create a sense of entitlement, you know, those kinds of things. So, or you're trying to, like, avoid being bored. For a lot of you who just want it, you don't, like, you're trying to avoid deprivation. You're trying to avoid being bored. And so you end up eating rather than just deciding to be bored right now and deciding to be deprived. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to feel deprived. I would really like a cupcake right now. But I also know I didn't plan for one. I also know that I can have it tomorrow at 24 hours in advance. Of course I would feel deprived right now. Everything in me is saying it's going to taste good. Like, that's how you do deprivation. Most of you, what you do with deprivation is you say, it's so unfair. Like, every thin person in the world gets to eat cupcakes. This is some bullshit. I'm getting some kind of eating disorder because I'm not having a cupcake right now. Girl, please. It's like, check. Like, be like, yes, of course I would feel deprived right now. I plan today to eat foods that nourish my body add years to my life and help me lose weight. A cupcake is not part of that plan today. I'm only feeling deprived because I keep thinking somehow it's normal to eat cupcakes on the regular. Like having those conversations. But a craving is more like for something specific. You literally want something, but you handle them the same way. It's like, of course I would want a cupcake. You know, in the past, I have ate lots of sugar. Like I am, of course I'm going to feel like shit right now because I'm used to eating lots of sugar. And right now I'm not having that. This is the price you pay to come off of all of that sugar. If buffering is an action that isn't useful to me, what are healthy action choices to manage the urges? Think. Like the healthiest action you all will have in your back pocket when you're handling an urge is how you decide to think. Think on purpose. Think like your best self. Most of you, what you put in your action line for urges is punitive behavior that ends up making you cave. The best action you guys can do is don't do a bunch of antics and bullshit. If you want to remove yourself from the room that you normally eat and stuff, that's fine. But the best action you'll do for yourself is the one where you're like, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit here and have a real conversation with myself. And I'm going to watch for the stuff I say without any judgment. I've always watched all these thoughts and then judge the fuck out of myself on top of it. No wonder I eat. I drive myself straight on into the food. I'm not going to drive myself there anymore. Many times I still find myself mindlessly grabbing food when I'm not hungry. Could this be an urge that I'm not allowing myself to admit to having? Let's see. Is it normal for the brain to try to hide the, so to speak? It's called fog eating. Fog eating is where we're eating. You're basically just grab ass and like by habit. It's very unconscious eating. It's a lot of times fog eating is like grabbing some food off of somebody else's plate and all this other stuff. Those are all urges also. They're just urges that are happening fast that you haven't learned how to slow down. So whenever you have a fog eat, for those of you who fog eat, it's really important for you to do the recovery worksheets because you're going to need to figure out what's preceding them. So for a lot of you, like you're like for me, for the longest time, I fog ate so much. So when I was losing weight, I could fog eat for the first 50 pounds. Like I was constantly grabbing a nugget here, nibbling off. Like the way that I like lost a lot of my weight in the beginning was I didn't rule out any foods, guys. Y'all all know that. I was just like making changes. But as I got to where I was making healthier and healthier changes, I was like fog eating all the time. Well, of course, I started stalling. And I was like, I think I'm going to have to cut out this bullshit eating. I mean, it was like, I don't know, the heavens parted and wisdom was dumped on my brain. It's always funny to me how there were all these moments when I was losing weight where it was like enlightenment hit. And it was such common sense. But I would hear it, like this thought come through my brain, be like, what? If we keep grabbing like popcorn shrimp off somebody's plate, that means I need to stop that to lose weight. I mean, seriously, I had these conversations. So I did a lot of fog eating in the beginning and I had to get like, you know, some control over it. And so one of the things I did was like, I would start like, if I was going, like my husband worked for Captain D's back then, he was this CIO and we got free food from Captain D's. Well, I'd get baked fish and stuff and I'd be the one to go get it. And of course the boys wanted fried food and it would be sitting in the car just smelling like fried food does, just salivating wonderful, all the things. And I would on the way home, like just grab a couple, you know, just a little grab assy. And so when I was stalling my weight, I noticed there was like, you know, all these little things. I was like cleaning off Logan's plate, stuff like that. And so that's what I worked on. And I had to make it really conscious. And the only way that I could do it was like, oh, I notice every time that I go and get drive-thru, I'm doing that. And when I really started getting aware of it, like I would put the food in the back seat so that it would be really hard for me to reach it. So I was going to have to really think about getting it. When I was at home, a lot of times I just had to be really aware that it was going to happen. And while I was eating, I would have to tell myself, and when I clean the table, there will be no eating of anything. sometimes I would still accidentally do it, but I would start catching myself. And the more you start catching yourself, the more you start getting aware and stopping it. I had a storm eat last night for no good reason. Ate my snack that was on my plan and then proceeded to go back into the kitchen, grab ass. Here's a funny thing. You think there's ever a good reason to overeat. There's never a good reason to overeat. There's just reasons, guys. There's no bad reasons, no good reasons. There's just reasons. I was mad at the kitchen, grab ass, and two other snacks. Was mad at myself afterwards. There were no hunger feelings around it. There rarely ever is, guys. Most of us we're overweight because we're eating when we're not hungry. We're either overeating once we've started, or we start eating before we actually get hungry. I'm still mad at myself to this morning. This keeps occurring more and more often every weekend, and then I wake up feeling shitty on Mondays, having to work that much harder the rest of the week. I need some thought work around this. One, don't work harder during the week. Don't punish yourself during the week for what you're doing on the weekend. That's what you're saying. Like, now I'm having to work harder and harder. You're beating yourself up. And then during the week, you're creating a relationship with food that is very strained and hard and punitive. You're doing the same thing on the weekends. You're like overeating and stuff on the weekends and then beating yourself up, which creates a very hard, strained, and punitive relationship with food on the weekends too. Just by the weekend, after you've done it all week long, you've tapped. You're probably using too much willpower all the time. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you working harder during the week. If you overeat on the weekends and you grab ass on the weekends, let's focus our energy and effort on creating weekends. When you are like during the week, let's make sure the week is a pleasurable losing weight experience. You don't have to make up ground on the weekends. You just keep setting yourself up to have to make up grounds on the weekends. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to plan your weekends, and they need to be very reasonable. And if you find you're grab-assing on the weekend, you need to plan the grab-assing, and you need to do it on purpose and quit doing it behind your back where you get pissed. I want you to like sit down with it and be pissed that you want the food. And be pissed that you're not going to eat it. Like, let's do it that way. But here's the thing. You got to drop this shit about being mad at yourself. You're not broken. You're not doing stupid shit. You're not doing any of that. All you're doing is slowing your weight loss down by being mad. Stop doing that. Just be like, if it's still happening, it's because I haven't learned the lesson yet. What's the lesson? Get your brain more into creativity and curiosity than out of punitive and restrictive bullshit. Like, you're restricting yourself probably not only in food during the week by making yourself work harder. What you're really doing is you're restricting yourself from that healthy relationship with you, with your eating, food, and your future goal weight and your future self. Worksheet on breaking emotional ties to urges. My urges feel more like habits that need to be changed rather than ties to something upsetting. Am I missing the point of this exercise? No. Most of us are not eating because we're upset. Most of us are eating because we want it. Most of us are eating because every night at 8 o'clock we sit down and have chips in front of the Netflix. You may or may not have had a bad day. You may have had a wonderful day. And you like to celebrate it with chips and Netflix. Like, it does not matter. Guys, quit thinking that there's some kind of big something. The only reason why we look back at the emotionals and try to find all this stuff is I'm looking for patterns. Patterns of emotions. Like, if you just have a good day, a lot of you are going to want to have wine at the end of the day. It's like, let's cap that one off. I just want you looking for your patterns. So if it's just habits, then you just need to do some habit changing. And if it's just habits, then that's super easy. You need to create a new one that you're going to do. So if you normally sit down on the couch and eat at 8 o'clock at night, or you do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you need to change your pattern at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You need to think before you even get home what the new pattern's going to be, what you're going to be doing, why that's going to feel different, but you're going to do it anyway. My pattern is the meal is over and I'm having an urge for chocolate, just a bite or two. What could my thought possibly be besides just wanting the sweet? I know it's a habit, but it's an urge as well. Your thought is, I want chocolate. Guys, quit trying to figure out that there's got to be something else. This is clear as day. That'll taste good. Chocolate's always fun after a meal. I just want a bite or two. That's the thought. I know it's frustrating because if that's the only thought, it's like, yeah, but how do you fix that? You don't eat. Period. That is what you do. Like if you're sitting there going, okay, I really don't need to have the chocolate. Like you can plan to have two bites of chocolate. Just be on plan. You might can just lose weight doing that. But if you're like, you know what? I'm really eating the chocolate because I just want it. And I want to start getting to the point where I just eat what I plan. And I think that I'm not going to lose like my weight at the rate I would like by eating that chocolate. So now it's time to get past that. Then you're just going to say no. I'm going to tell you, it is a lot easier to solve overeating when you have some big hairy something or other. Because you get to work on it and all this other stuff. You know what the hardest overeats to solve are? Oh, but I'm just one of those normal people who just wants it. Like 99% of us. I'm going to tell you, the reason why I was overweight all of my life was because I was given into my wants in the moment. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to have fried cheese sticks. It was way better than sitting around watching everybody else having appetizers while I was going to just eat, like, chicken. Like, this wasn't because of my father. It's like, no, cheese sticks is always better than sitting around with a glass of water waiting for, you know, chicken and a baked potato. Like, most of us just want it. Once we figure out the pattern, how do we overcome the urge? I think I've already talked about that. Because once you have the pattern, you know the urge is coming. Go through the urge, guys. If you haven't taken, so this month's course is the Buffering and Urge Workshop in the bonus courses. If you are a newbie and you have already finished module one and you want to listen to it, it's one video. And so it's about an hour long. You can go ahead and listen to it. We're not going to like slap your hand if you listen to extra stuff. But if you want to go ahead and listen to that one to kind of, you know, be like, oh, okay, and now I understand some of my urges better, it's perfectly fine. How do you manage your thinking during a difficult day? I'm an oncologist. I'm barely able to focus on the patient in front of me and just struggle to even find time to think about the day-to-day tasks that need to get done, much less my thoughts around eating. Your thoughts around eating should be simple. Especially for an oncologist, especially for any of us who like work long hours and stuff. We are the exact people who just need to make a plan and stop thinking about our food. You shouldn't be thinking about it anymore. You should just have a plan, Seema. This is when I eat and this is what I eat. And like some of you, you need to have a plan for when you're going to eat. Like if you are a teacher, if you are an ER, we've got several ER doctors in here. We've got people who do all kinds of like shift work and stuff. You know, don't sit there and think because I'm an oncologist, this is why it's hard for me. No, you're an oncologist. You have things you need to deal with over there, but your food is not hard because you're an oncologist. Your food is hard is because you're making it hard yourself. Like, here's my thing. On my busiest of days, here's what I tell myself. I'm going to eat at 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. These are when I can eat and this is it. And this is what I'll eat. That way the rest of the day, I can focus on kicking ass and building a business and teaching these ladies how to like stop their overeating. I don't sit there like, you don't always have to just wait for the hunger, guys. That is what we teach. But I'm going to tell you, if you are someone like who's like, you know what, I'm just going to eat twice in a day because my life is so full right now, it would be way easier for me to just be like, it is 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Or it's 8, 12, and 6, and I just eat to my 2. And that's it. And it's what I plan because my life is full. And the best thing I can do for myself is to make food something I just don't spend a lot of time thinking about. But most of you, what you want to do is you want to spend a lot of time thinking about it and then using that as an excuse that it takes too much time to think about it so that you can just grab whatever you want in the moment to relieve the pressure of thinking that your job is hard. It's like, deal with your job, but that doesn't make food any harder at all. Because here's the deal. If you're really busy, you can always fall back on just not eating. Most of you are here to lose weight. It's like, then just don't eat until you have an opportunity to eat. And then you just tell yourself, my stomach didn't get any bigger during that time. If I have to wait 12 hours, I'll do it. Most of you will never have to pull that trigger. But I'm just like, if I had to go 12 hours, I would not flip my wig. I would just be like, all right, I'm pretty sure that I can go 12 hours and it not be. Most of you panic because of your thoughts. It's like, what if you had to fast for, what if you had to go to bed at 8 o'clock and you overslept and slept till 8? Nobody woke up in the middle of the night going, oh my God, I'm probably going to eat the house. Oh, that would be going 12 hours without food. This is how we know it's not a panic fest. A lot of you, like on the weekends, sleep in and sleep like, you know, like 10 hours and you get up and you kind of just lay around and enjoy yourself on your day off and stuff. And no one's in a panic that they haven't ate in 12 hours. This is how we know that hangry isn't a real thing. You know what hangry is? A collection of thoughts that it's been too long. I should be able to eat more. I'm too hungry. No, you're not. Just, guys, just say like, I can do hunger and I'm going to learn how. And most of the time, you're never going to have to go without eating any more than 3 to 4 hours. That's not deprivation or the end of the world. It's just reality. And then every now and then, life is busy. Just like yesterday. I had a long period of time. I went to bed. I woke up. I didn't even eat until like after, it was like 2 o'clock. I was hungry, but at no point did I be like, shh, I am so deprived. I'm probably going to eat the house. I refuse to think of shit like that. It is like the worst things to think for myself. And I just shut it down if I ever try to throw that tantrum. Finding myself in a loop, I know all the things, it seems, and I eat everything for a couple of days. Then I do well for a couple of days. I'm struggling, breaking the cycle, and I need a Corinne kick in the ass. I understand why I'm doing it. I just can't seem to change it. Well, why are you doing it? You're not doing, you didn't even tell me why you're doing it. When you, I want to know what the, like, if you know that that's your pattern, then let's just do this. Let's do 2 days of how you normally do it. Make sure it's realistic, Heidi. Cannot be some bullshit. The other 2 days, I want you to plan all the things. Let's do the 2 days conscious. Let's do that for 2 weeks. I would love to see you do that. 2 days on, but it's got to be realistic. Now, don't be sitting there telling me I know all the things and on those 2 days, you're eating like an asshole. And then the 2 days where you eat all the things, it's like, why do you need, like you never said why you need, but why do you need to eat all the things on those two days? Heidi, it's not because of the remodel. Do some models. There's no, like, remodels don't cause overeating. You know how I know? I remodeled my house and I didn't overeat through it. There's plenty of people that go through remodels and they don't overeat. There are people who go through remodels and get fed up and try to blame remodels on their overeating. That happens. And that's what's happening right now. You gotta just, like, step one, it ain't the remodel. You know what this is? This is me wanting to eat instead of dealing with my shit. This is me sitting around obsessing about a remodel and creating unnecessary suffering around a remodel for myself. And then I decide to eat because of all my unnecessary suffering. I get bored and unsettled. Yeah. You're going to be bored and you're going to feel like you need to tell yourself it's natural to feel unsettled during a remodel. I want you to get good at feeling unsettled. Here's the thing, what I want you to do on the 2 days that you're eating. I want you, first of all, I want you to plan a couple of days where you do all the things. Then I want you to do 2 days of your normal plan. And then the next 2 days, here's what I want you to do. I'm not allowed to solve for bored and unsettled. So what is it that I'm going to be thinking? And you do a lot of journaling on those. If you're bored, you have time to journal. So do a lot of journaling on, here's the things I'm thinking. Let, like, you're buffering so that you don't have to think about the things you're thinking. And if you'll let those come up, then you can start solving for your thinking. Some of the stuff you can just feel. Some of the stuff you're going to notice is like, all right, I'm in titty baby mode right now. I need to like fix myself. That's only going to happen with me. That's not going to be fixed with a remodel. Ideas on managing your mind during the day to be able to dismiss the evening urges better. I like to, during the day, what I like to think about is I like to envision myself in the evening having an urge and sitting with it and letting it pass. And then I spend some time thinking about the pride and the feelings and writing about how it's going to feel when I wake up the next day. I love doing that. That's like a 3-minute exercise. It does not take very long. One of the other things that you can do is during the day, you can also, like, what I would do is look for ways that, like, what are the little things that happen during the day that could, that might be triggering me to think about the evening? Look for the little signs. We all have flares that go up during the day. So what we might be doing is we may be sitting around like having like work stress, or maybe we're having a good day, whatever it may be, right? And we catch ourselves thinking about what we could eat that night. In that moment is really important to tell ourselves, but that's not happening tonight. And just this, whatever's happening right now doesn't get rewarded with food, whether it's stress or whether it's like an amazing promotion, no matter what it is. Making one of the 3 goals on my 24-hour plan, finding deliciousness in my life that's not food. All I come up with are my sad buffering behaviors. I want a vibrant life. My imagination has been numbed. Gail, I would take this one to ask coaches. This is more, I want you to get coached on. Deliciousness in my life that's not food. Make a, just do this. I want you to come, like, sit down, and I want you to make a list of 10 things that are, that I would love to do in my life. And here's the thing. You can't allow yourself to think like, that's impossible, that's something that can't happen, blah, blah, blah. You have to literally sit there and you have to think like, if I wasn't afraid, if I wasn't doubting, and if I wasn't insisting it couldn't happen, here's the things I would be doing. And try that. My stress is my husband. It's not your husband, it's your thoughts about your husband, Shirley. Just to say. And somewhere you did a video about it isn't him, but myself, and I need to work on myself. I've been looking for it. My husband has changed the last 6 months and non-responsive to me, and I'm hurt and I'm eating. Here's the thing. You get to be hurt, but the reason why you're eating is because you think it's him and it's not you. First step is always to be like, the reason why I'm hurt is because I don't like his behavior. You're in the space of I'm hurt because of his behavior. You need to just put whatever his behavior actually is in your circumstance line. I don't know if you're a new tribe member or not, but you would put that in your CTFAR. Guys, you'll all hear about that in module 4. But you would put what he's doing there, and your thought is he's non-responsive. Like, it, like, so I would like take that thought, and you can take this to ask coaches also. What are you making it mean that he's non-responsive? That's where the hurt's coming in. So it's like you're interpreting whatever's going on there to mean something about you. What we need to do is we need to figure out what you're making it mean about you and make it mean about him. But we want to like work on it. Like, you just need some work on this. I would suggest, I don't know if you're new or not. If you're new, don't go through this program yet. But if you've been around, if you're one of my April babies, go to the Mastering Relationships bonus course. Go through that course. That will be very helpful for you. Let me see. I'm going to try to answer some that I haven't answered already. I tend to dismiss an urge early in the morning, and that same urge or thoughts of that food will come, continue to occur throughout the day. Is this normal? Yeah, it's normal. You know, a lot of, like, I will tell y'all, like, I've talked to y'all several times. There's been times where I've had urges for wine, like at 8 o'clock in the morning, not to drink at 8 o'clock, but to drink at 8 p.m. You know, it's like, it's very normal for them to kind of come back and stuff. Eventually, if you quit rewarding urges with food, then eventually your brain starts wanting to extinguish that urge habit because it's not getting a payoff. The brain will not keep anything that doesn't get a payoff. It habitualizes everything that you continue to act on. So our job is to learn how to not react to urge our urges. Our job is to learn how to have an urge and then decide and be like have decisive action behind it. Understanding my buffering worksheet. So that was goes back to earlier about the five things. It was like way up there. No, this is not a surprise live. This was planned. Y'all always check your calendars. Always, always, always. Subscribe to the calendar. Let's see. There's somewhere was that question. I've got to find it again. I can't find it. You'll have to put the question back in there for me. I have a hard time coming up with a thought on a recovery worksheet of the white knuckling thought and what could I think. The white knuckling thought is that it's not serving me. I will gain weight. I don't think that's white knuckling. I think that's a great thought to have. I'm going to tell you right now. That's very truthful. This is not serving me. This will create weight gain. This is called reality. I think you guys need to have more of that conversation. White knuckling is saying this shouldn't be happening. I don't want this. Like I'm a bad person for having it. It's arguing with it. Get out, get out, get out. I can't tolerate you. I tell myself all the time, like, girl, you will not like your stomach tomorrow if you eat this. There's no problem with that. That's called being honest. The only time I drop pounds is when I restrict. Yeah, you're all, every one of you is going to restrict. You know what you're all doing right now? If you're at work listening to this, you're restricting yourself from working. If you're not eating right now, guess what? You're restricting yourself from eating right now. Restriction is not a bad thing. You need to figure out what you make restriction mean. In order to lose weight, guess what you have to do? Restrict yourself from your immediate wants and desires. You have to restrict yourself from spontaneously just eating anything that gets offered to you. You have to restrict yourself from caving. Somebody's like, I'm busted. I'm at work. If I restrict, I end up in fuck it mode. If caused, intermittent fasting caused this weekend. That intermittent fasting doesn't cause it. Guys, everybody repeat after me. When I eat, the overeat is always on the action line. The only thing that causes me to eat is I decide to do it. That is the only thing. If you keep blaming, it's because of restriction, it's because of my husband, it's because of intermittent fasting, it's because of the 24-hour plan. I want you to see the common theme here. You all want so badly for something is causing you to overeat. The only thing that's doing it is you. At some point, you want it, you get up, you go get it. That's all that happens. Now, if during the week you are being very punitive and self-loathing with your food plan, then on the weekend you have created an environment for you to crave to fuck it more. But it was not because you were restricting and stuff. It is because on the weekend you decided to not restrict more. In that moment when fuck it came, this is when you're like, you know what? I'm not going to fuck it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at why I want it so bad right now. Oh, it's because all week long, I've been doing behaviors that I didn't feel that were coming from love. I was doing things from a punitive, so like, you can't lose weight unless you do this. Like, that is what you're doing. You're restricting yourself. I want you to get this clear distinction. You think you're restricting yourself of food. That's not what the real result is. You're restricting yourself from a healthy relationship with food. That's the restriction. When you decide to plan, like, what is the easiest way I can lose weight this week? And you decide, the easiest way for me to lose weight this week is to plan these things and to just eat this plan and to not overthink it. Like, that's the, probably the easiest way for me to lose weight this week. And then I'm willing every week to see what I need to change and to see what I need to do. Most of you are going into the week thinking losing weight is going to be so hard. So then you create a lot of hard plans that have almost nothing to do with anything other than using the actual worksheet. You do the functions of what I tell you, the process, but you're not living in the spirit of it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to be like, what am I really restricting here? I'm restricting myself of thoughts around how I could make this process easier for myself. How can I set myself up for success on the weekends? If I want to be successful on the weekend and if I tend to fuck it and stuff like that, then I know that I need to relook at my week. I don't need to blame intermittent fasting. I do not need to think that restriction's a bad thing. I need to be like, if I want to have a better weekend, I need to look at why I'm creating an environment on the weekend that feels so compelling to just throw it all away. That's what I would do. What are 5 thoughts you can start with now that feel doable? It's on the understanding your buffering worksheet. I would probably, I just need to look at the worksheet. Hang on, let me look at it. I'll tell you in just a second. You would think that I have all of them, you know, just committed to memory and stuff. I can't see. This is probably one I could have just had Betsy answer in the comments. understanding your buffering. What ways do I buffer? What feelings am I attempting to avoid? What causes each? Am I willing to feel unpleasant? What are the negative consequences? Imagine 60 days from now. How are you thinking about urges in 60 days that is different? What are 5 thoughts you can start with now that feel doable until you are more confident? What I would do here is what I'm trying to get you to understand is what are some of the thoughts that can help you feel like overcoming your urges is going to be doable. So like for me, one of my thoughts with urges is I can wait 90 seconds before I act. That's like a thought that really helps me. Another thought that I have that really helps me, it won't be for all of you, but if you want to be integrity with yourself, like being authentic is really important to me and being in integrity is really important to me. I can always tell when I'm just like half-assing through life or whatever because I just feel so out of balance, like with who I want to be. So a lot of times I will tell myself when urges come, a thought that's very doable for me is being authentic is more important than eating something. So like I try to like, those feel very doable for me. So it's just looking at what are some things that you can think about when like around your overeating, like especially with overeating for a lot of you, because you have a lot of thoughts around overeating, like it's going to be hard. And like for a lot of you, like I would love for you to rather than saying, you know, stopping my overeating is going to be hard or it's going to feel like ass. It's like we all kind of know it's not going to feel amazing, but I don't want you practicing that thought. I want you practicing the thought of I'm dedicated to feeling anything I need to feel to solve my overeating. Or I'm prepared to feel anything around my overeating. That is better than like ginning yourself up on it being hard all the time. Like always thinking it's going to be hard. I don't think there's anything wrong with this saying like, all right, collectively. Yeah. We all understand that when we're going to stop responding to urges and stuff, it's not going to feel amazing. It's probably going to feel like ass, but always thinking that it is not helpful. Okay. Let me go back to my other thing. Okay. That's it, guys. All right, y'all, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to try to wrangle up some coffee finally. I'll let everybody know. Someone asked about my t-shirt. I was given this by Miss Joni Ripple and Megan Schmidt. They are mama-daughter team here at PNP. And yesterday Joni posted about she lost like 50 pounds? I want to say she's lost 50 pounds and she also is in her 60s. But she got grandbabies and all the things. And so anyway, y'all should look for her post. It's JoniRipple. But she's a wonderful woman. She's got an amazing daughter. They've come to, they've been to Don't Stop Believing 2 years in a row. I just love them so much. And they gave me this shirt, and I brought it all the way to California with me to wear. And it's got the St. Louis Arch on it. So that's where I got it. And I have some headbands. Like, everybody's been sending me PNP gear, but we are getting ready to have a swag shop for you guys. It is at the final, final stages. I mean, it should be within 2 to 3 weeks. We're just now doing legal stuff at this point. So that's it. And then y'all can order. We have some cute little t-shirts with our stuff, like our logo. And we're going to have... we hand selected a few of my famous quotes to put on some t-shirts, and we're going to have like a tank, a t-shirt, like a t-shirt that's like unisex. So it goes from small all the way to, I believe, 3XL. And then we're going to have just, some regular tanks, more like this, and some flowy tanks. Cause I know a lot of people like flowy tanks. So we're going to have like some different styles and everything for everybody. All right. I am in Lake Tahoe. I am up in the elevation, and I have a headache. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all. Oh, y'all are here. I did get extended sizes. We're going up to 3XL. So hopefully that was the size that I think that our distributor, that's where they went to. And it's, I think, I want to, it's either a unisex shirt. It's a unisex shirt that goes to 3XL. So if you're over a 3XL, then make it a goal shirt. That'll be like your first goal. All right, guys. Bye, y'all.